You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness has given me the opportunity to cope with my problems.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
I am at peace with my mental illness.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Mental illness saved my life.
I absolutely love my mental illness.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto. My name is Kobe, and I'll be your host for today. RTNT is a voice for community mental health. In this episode, we'll be discussing the importance of sleep on our mental health. Our episode will begin with the round table discussion we had with a few of the members of Progress Place. We chat about healthy sleep routine, the impact of exercise on a good night rest, and how our dreams can influence creative projects. Let's have a listen.
So yeah, I was thinking to begin, how many hours of sleep does everyone get?
For me, it varies. I would say minimum 5 to 6 on a good night, 7.5, and sometimes I oversleep, like 10, 11 hours.
Yeah.
And that's when I feel the worst, is when I oversleep. Mm.
Do you feel more fatigued the next day?
Yeah, just puts me off. I function better on 5 hours of good sleep rather than 10 hours of extended sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even last night for me, like I woke up at like 4, couldn't get back to sleep, and then finally got back to sleep like literally 20 minutes before my alarm was going to go off, and it made me feel worse just having that. You know, I should have just got up.
Yeah, I've never understood the whole power nap thing. It doesn't seem to happen with me. If I take a nap and then wake up, I feel groggy for most of the day.
Yeah, same.
I find like if I doze off for 5-10 minutes, that's all I need for an afternoon power nap.
Really?
If I do more, then I just feeling groggy most times. But I don't nap because I get 8-9 hours of sleep every night.
That's perfect.
And I sleep right through except a couple of times for bathroom trips. And
yeah.
I just get right back to sleep.
I think my sleep rhythm is, a lot of it's determined by childhood. I think for me, I was on asthma meds, and one of the components was ephedrine, which is a stimulant. So I think what that did is that it upset my sleeping patterns, my sleeping habits when I was younger, and it's impacted my sleeping patterns now. And I maybe even has some impact on my mental health, my diagnosis. I've had the ups and downs. It's hard to function on 3 hours of sleep and go to school. I'm beginning to wonder if your sleep habits when you're young are going to have a huge impact when you become older as you age.
Interesting, yeah.
Don't you find it when you've had like 3 or 4 hours the day before, and then you go home and you're tired? But there's this whole concept of like it's almost you're overthinking when you're like you're so tired you just want to go to sleep. But you keep saying that to yourself when you're in bed, and then you'd end up not sleeping again.
Yeah.
That's overthinking. I've experienced that. I don't know if you've ever slept or not slept for a long period of time.
Yeah.
For me, it was 48 hours, and I was working on a paper for school, and I had to do a shift, working shift. For some reason, I got this huge charge of energy when I started my shift. It was kind of odd. I felt, I made a lot of errors that night. I was an order processor for pizza, and I made 10 errors. And normally in a shift, I wouldn't make any.
I wonder if the concept of being wired is not always like, I usually hear the concept of I'm wired, not because you've had coffee, it's because I always associate when I'm really tired, but I'm still like obsessively thinking about things, and I'm so engaged still, and I just feel kind of, I don't know if I'm tired or not, or I find that the hardest is when you're not in a pattern of sleeping and you're sleep deprived, and then you're trying to go back on to adjusting to that. It's just, it's very difficult to get back on into a groove of sleeping.
Do you feel like your brain activity is still?
Well, I'm constant. Like, I have OCD, so that makes it even worse. The constant thinking.
Right.
I'm kind of almost sleeping in different pockets of the day whenever I can actually go to sleep. So it's very hard for me to figure out a routine.
Okay. But you sort of take the sleep when you can get it?
Pretty much, which I know is not ideal if you want to have any sort of like be productive during the day. And if you have a job, you kind of have to try and get your 6 or 7, 8 hours of sleep.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I
couldn't imagine what it is for students too.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about it a lot more than they used to. Like when I was a student, they wouldn't really, you know, you have coffee, you wait, you stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, study hard, thinking that's going to do anything.
Yeah. So you mentioned, what's your routine getting ready?
Oh, okay. So I take my meds. No, I do oral care. I wash my face. I do read, or I listen to an audio book, or I don't really like it just shutting everything off like pitch black.
Yeah.
I like listening to something, and that way my mind doesn't wander. Sometimes it's really hard to keep on track of what you're listening to, like stay in the moment, because my mind can wander.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let my mind wander, that's what keeps me awake for hours, which has been common or regular thing with me, but not anymore because I practice mindfulness, so I really try. But I do sometimes sleep with the TV on. I love true crime and documentaries. I just close my eyes and listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Forensic Files, Dateline, 48 hours. I'm like addicted to them all.
I'm surprised that would make you calm and go to sleep. That makes me stimulated.
Oh my God, it's so interesting.
Well, yeah, I'd find it interesting, but I get wired. Like I get, I have the worst routines. Like I'll watch all these intense documentaries and then figure, oh, why can't I sleep? Like, oh,
yeah.
Of course I'm not gonna be able to sleep.
Yeah.
But,
I was gonna say that I worked for 20 years and it was a high anxiety job, and it's a vicious circle because the way my personal experience is that you're drained at the end of the day, right? And I used to drink too at night. And that didn't help. And then the next day I'd be drained again and more anxiety. And it's just this vicious circle. I think a lot of people that have high stress jobs, they're constantly sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good for them nor the company. There's got to be a way to keep stress levels down, and there's all kinds of things you can do, but employers should be cognizant of how much stress an employee is taking, not only for their mental health perspective, but for the company itself. If you have burnt out, anxious employees, they're not going to perform that
well.
Exactly.
Well, they're talking about the 4-day work week these days.
That's not a bad idea.
And I think they've implemented it in certain, I don't know if Europe's always been, I always screw up this word. It's not siesta?
Yeah.
I was going to say fiesta somehow. But no.
That's
like,
the opposite.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they
shouldn't make them sound so similar. But,
yeah, I think we're in an epidemic of sleep deprivation. There's too much stresses and pressures. It's
I wonder what the pandemic did to people.
Yeah.
I mean, when you feel,
I don't know.
Lisa, so you mentioned like a few shows that you put on before bed. Forensic Files actually is one of mine as well.
I can't believe that would help you sleep.
The narrator's voice.
Okay. That makes more sense.
But and if you haven't seen them all, you cannot close your eyes and just roll over. Yeah. You have you got to watch it. But the show has been on so long, and there's, I don't know, 9 seasons and 40 episodes on each season, and I've seen them all at least 5 times.
Yeah.
So I can just listen to them, and I just love it. I still can't get enough of it.
Well, Lisa brought up a good point, is that she's seen them already, so it's almost like a comfort thing. I'll put on a podcast I've already listened to.
Yeah.
Like Conan, for some reason, Conan's voice is relaxing, and I put that on. So there's no visual stimulation going on. It's just the sound of the voice. Rather than this, some people like the whole relaxing and now close your eyes and listen to your body and all that. Or just put on something that's like a comedy or a...
Yeah.
That's just not high energy. It's just kind of like a calming sort of vibe.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
There are podcasts that are, they're ASMR podcasts. Autonomous sensory meridian response, and it does work. Some people have that kind of a voice, and it helps you to sleep. So some people just go onto YouTube and just listen to someone talk, and it kind of lulls them to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
RT&T, I put on that podcast.
Hopefully it doesn't put you to sleep. Oh, no.
Put me to sleep.
I hope there's someone stimulated.
I put on Joyce Meyer's
podcast. I think this is going to get cut out, but hey, let's roll with it.
I think it's about a time.
You are listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca in Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. Our topic for this month is mental health and the importance of healthy sleeping habits. We just heard the first half of our roundtable discussion with Mark, Maddie, Yale, and Lisa. We'll hear the second half later in the episode. We like to now present a segment from Progress Place member Ivan. Ivan did some research on how sleep or lack of it can affect our memory. She uncovered some fascinating pieces of information. Let's take a listen.
When someone is in a bad mood, we say that they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. There is a good reason for this expression, because the quality of our sleep affects our mental state. Lack of sleep is linked to a number of conditions, including depression, anxiety, and it increases the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Sleep affects almost every system in the body, and it is critical regarding memory. Why is that? You cannot form a memory if you don't pay attention, and you need sleep in order to pay attention. To focus. If you want to remember something, you need to notice what is going on. Sleep also hits the save button on new memories. After a poor sleep, your memories from the previous day will be fuzzy, inaccurate, or missing. Your ability to recall information in general is better after a good night's sleep. And the recommendation for adults is 7 to 9 hours. When you learn something new, the best way to remember is to sleep on it. Sleeping helps strengthen memories you have formed during the day, and it also helps link new memories to earlier ones. What happens to memories in your brain while you sleep? How does lack of sleep affect your ability to learn and remember? Sleep before learning prepares your brain for the initial formation of memories. Sleep after learning is essential to hit that save button and fix that new information so you are less likely to forget it. While you sleep, your brain goes through different phases: light sleep, deep sleep, and REM sleep, which is when dreaming occurs. These cycles repeat about every 90 minutes. The non-REM stages of sleep seem to prepare the brain for learning the next day. If you haven't slept, your ability to learn new things can drop by up to 40%. Lack of sleep affects different parts of your brain. For example, one structure is called the hippocampus. This is a seahorse-shaped structure deep in the middle of your brain. It is necessary for forming any new memories that you can later consciously retrieve. You gather many memories moment by moment when you are awake. Most will be forgotten during the day. They are in a raw and fragile form. But when you doze off, the brain goes back through recent memories and decides what to keep and what not to keep. In fact, the ability to forget helps us prioritize, think better, and make decisions and be more creative. During a night of sleep, some memories are strengthened. Research shows that memories of certain procedures, like playing a tune on a guitar, can actually improve while you sleep. Alzheimer's is a condition believed in part to be caused by abnormal levels of a waste product called amyloid. Sleep plays a role in clearing these waste products. Researchers have found that the waste removal system is more active during sleep and is actually a fundamental reason why we sleep. So this is a brief look at the importance of sleep and memory, but we can see that sleep is not a state of doing nothing. It is not a waste of time. It is a busy state. Creating a memory involves taking information from life around us, processing it, and recalling, sometimes years later. Different parts of the brain are involved in every stage. Each part is affected differently when we sleep. Sleep is vital to our physical and mental health and our optimal functioning. It is as essential as food and water.
Thanks so much, Ivan. Some valuable information about the restorative nature of sleep. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto. Our episode this month is focusing on the importance of sleep on our mental health. We will now dive back into our roundtable discussion for the rest of the episode.
Oh, let's talk about coffee.
Oh, geez.
Let's talk about coffee in the day. How do we find it affects our sleep that night?
That's another vicious circle.
Yeah.
You're tired, you drink a lot of coffee, you can't sleep the following night. You wake up, you're tired, you drink lots of coffee during the day, you're tired again, you just one long.
Yeah.
I try
what
to keep
you
it to
more tired, you have more coffee.
Exactly, just you just constant. Keep going and going. Yeah. So I drink way too much coffee. And then
you feel wired.
Yeah, and then you're wired. It's kind of like a bit of a high, actually. It's a stimulant. And you feel good for a while and perhaps productive, and then you start to fade.
No, I get anxiety a lot.
Oh, do you?
Like, I got to leave. I have social phobia. I got to leave when I'm too wired on coffee. Yeah, it makes me feel horrible.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I can get up in the morning and have a coffee, and I can get back to sleep. But it's the coffees that I have throughout the day.
Yeah. I remember when I was a student, it was at least 2 to 3 coffees a day. Now it's 1, and if it's not 1, it's none. So
yeah,
thankfully, seems like students, it's always like, I remember back in the day, like when I was in school, I remember the advertisements that were specifically targeted with student life. So it's like, they know what they're doing with their focused.
Oh yeah.
Say.
Just on the, you know, food and beverage topic, I find that if I have like a really late dinner,
oh yeah,
that disrupts my.
Yeah.
Like I'll wake up in the middle of the night, tossing and turning.
Not to get all graphic, but your digestive system is going.
Right.
So I can only imagine that wakes your body up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I've done that. Actually, worse is chocolate, any kind of sweets,
yeah,
like around 11.
And sugar.
And then I'm lying down and watching YouTube stuff, and that just keeps going, and I might not get to sleep till 3.
I know. I'm a bad representative of good sleep.
I watched a program where they did an experiment on children, and they gave one group of children who were kindergartners, for lunch they gave them veggie platters, all healthy foods, and the other group they gave them all sugar. And after the lunch, there is no, the kids that were in the sugar group, they were just hyper for a little bit, but they all lied down and had their afternoon nap on their mats, and there was no difference really,
really?
In the kids' behavior. Hmm. And I can eat sugar and go to sleep, no problem, and I don't feel anything when I eat sugar. I'm not like, and my first coffee is okay, but after like a lot of coffee, I feel really weird and like.
So are you saying parents should just give their kids as much sugar?
Well, I don't think it's good for the teeth.
No, okay. Okay.
One thing that I find, if I get like a, have a day with like a good sort of hour exercise, whether it be at the gym, a swim or a bike ride, that helps me.
Like
big
cardio,
time.
Cardio mainly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at nighttime. It just keeps me awake. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I don't mean like, just at some point during the day, if
yeah.
I've had a period of exercise, it really helps. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, it's like what is a cutoff time? Because I guess it's different, because I've gone to AquaFit at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's like that is the perfect time for me to go, but I can't sleep.
Also,
even
yeah,
when I take a melatonin.
You do go at a time because there's not a lot of people in the gym as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crowded, right?
And plus I'm here all day, so
yeah.
Like, you know, I do my hair and my makeup. I don't want to go swimming before I come here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of a makeup kind of girl, so I don't want to go. I don't want to go near a pool.
How about who remembers their dreams when they wake up?
I do quite often.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have like a dream journal or something that you write down?
I don't really write them down, but I remember them the next day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like vividly too. You remember everything?
Yeah, I remember dreams that I had years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
The colors.
As a child. Yeah.
And sometimes they reoccur.
That's
really?
True.
Yeah. Or at least I think that in
yeah.
my dream.
I've had that too. I know I've had that dream before,
yeah.
And I know it's been in the same sequence.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys find that? So, yeah, you remember mm-hmm. your dreams. They stay with you, even you said for a year sometimes.
Yes.
Do you find, do they help you process things? Is it like, do you get any insight from them, or is it just sort of your, like a...
I try not to, you know, think about my dreams too much, because I, you know, I don't want to...
Yeah, some people love to overanalyze
yeah,
everything, but
no,
if
I
you
can't.
Start analyzing your dreams, you probably will never go to sleep.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't have time for that. That's too much work.
Well, I was never one. I don't know if you were, you know, but the whole buying the dream book and what.
Oh, no.
If there's a
oh,
snake
right,
in
no.
your dream, that
no,
means
yeah.
this.
Yes,
yeah.
I bought it like way
no.
back in the
no,
90s.
I think that dreams serve a purpose. They must. It's just some sort of therapeutic thing. To try, you're dealing with stresses, and you have to cope. It's one way of coping with issues you might have. I'm sure it must have some sort of a purpose that's a positive.
we were just chatting about sort of the dream, like creative, having creative dreams or waking up with sort of creative ideas. Yael, I know you're a writer. Mm. Do you ever sort of wake up with an idea or maybe even like the lines of a poem or something?
Mm. All the time. I'm a very light sleeper to begin with, but I'm asleep, but it's weird because I'm a light sleeper, but I'm aware that I'm asleep.
Right.
So I'll get these words in my head that I think would make a great poem, and then I have to wake up right away and write them down, or else I'll forget them.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I have like a whole poem at like 3 o'clock.
So you're able to remember them.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't even do that.
She's so energetic.
3 o'clock in the morning, I have a whole poem.
That's amazing.
Here's that question.
Yeah, you get this high.
Yeah, it's.
That's cool. Yeah,
I'm a very light sleeper anyway, though, so it. I spend the night tossing and turning from one side to the other.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah, me too.
So.
Something I'm taking away that from this is we all have different ways that we. Mm-hmm. You know, prepare for sleep or like how we adjust
or not prepare for sleep.
Or not prepare, exactly. It's, you know, but anyways, I've enjoyed the chat, everyone.
Thank you, me too.
I appreciate you taking the time. And I'm really hoping we all get a good night's rest tonight.
That's a good, I like that segue. And you were working on that from the beginning.
No technology, no tossing and turning.
Okay, thanks guys.
Well, that brings us to the end of this month's episode. You have been listening to RTNT, Radio Total Normal Toronto, on CARU 1280 AM. If you are looking for a community to be part of your mental health wellness, please visit a clubhouse near you. Clubhouse International reaches over 100,000 people living with mental illness per year in 320 plus clubhouses in 34 countries. Please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find a clubhouse in your community. My name is Kobe, and I have been your host for this episode. Please share this episode with your friends and family. Together, we can progress from mental health stigmas to mental health wellness. To learn more about RTNT or listen to previous episodes, please check out RadioTotallyNormalToronto.org or find us on SoundCloud. If you would like to learn more about Progress Place, visit ProgressPlace.org. You can also track Progress Place on social media. Once again, thank you for joining us and have an amazing afternoon.